Give to us now, dear God, we ask the glory of the light of your gospel. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Central to the biblical narrative is this unfolding drama concerning God's relationship with humanity. It's a relationship that begins in love, then gets distorted by sin, and is finally redeemed and restored. And one of the images that is used to describe this journey in our relationship with God, from sin and brokenness into redemption and transformation to new life, is the image of moving from darkness to light. From our epistle lesson today, we read, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So that is what this sermon is about. This biblical imagery of darkness and light, and the important role that the light plays in our everyday life in helping us to live and behave as children of God. The Bible begins, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness." Now, of course, here darkness and light don't represent sin and redemption in our relationship with God. Here, darkness and light are simply describing the gravitational and rotational relationship the earth has with the sun, which brings about daytime and nighttime. But the imagery is nevertheless put out there from the very beginning, that God is the one who brings light to the darkness. Then God creates people who rebel against him, and things get messy. As we say, they get complicated. And there are all kinds of injustices going on, which leads the psalmist, who is wanting God to rescue the weak and the needy from the hand of the wicked, to write, "They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness." So now darkness describes this distortion in our relationship with God. As we read in the Proverbs, "The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." And Isaiah describes the larger impact it has, saying, "So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in deep shadows." And it is with this as an Old Testament backdrop that John's gospel begins. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." One of my favorite games when I was about 10 or so was sardines. For those of you who don't know, sardines is like hide and seek, but instead of everyone hiding with the person who is it, searching for them with sardines, one person goes and hides, and everyone searches for them. And when you find the person who is it, you join them, which is why it's called sardines. And yes, on a summer night, a bunch of sweaty 12-year-olds hiding in small places for periods of time, sardines can get quite brutal. We mostly played at the neighbor's house because they had the best basement. Not so much because it was so big and had all of these incredible places to hide, but because it got so dark that you could literally be in the middle of the room and no one would know. It was so dark in their basement that you could put your hand right in front of your face and not be able to see it. The only problem was the younger sibling, who was too young to play and who would therefore ruin our fun every chance she got by cracking open the basement door. Because even the faintest bit of light would expose where everybody was hiding. And that, by the way, is the point of me telling you about this childhood game. That is what light does. It banishes the darkness, and it doesn't take much. Even the dimmest nightlight in the middle of the night reveals a lot, doesn't it? So what does all of that have to do with our Christian faith and life in Christ? Well, a lot, actually, because the reality is that there is a lot of sin and brokenness in our lives and in the world around us, and a lot of it remains hidden in the darkness. And part of our calling in Christ is to allow the light to shine in those places. For example, have you ever been caught in a lie? Been caught cheating or stealing or doing something that you shouldn't be doing? The lie or secret that was hidden became exposed? Anyone? Am I the only sinner in church this morning? Where is John Shields when you need him? Oh, wait, there you are. Sorry. I've always thought that the best visual for this is a log that is half buried in the ground. Because when you turn it over and expose the other side, you realize that there is an entirely different world living underneath. A world of worms and creepy things. And what happens to all that stuff when the log is turned over and exposed to the light? Well, the creepy things either slither away back into the cold darkness, or if they remain exposed, they burn away and die in the light, right? Well, so it is with the sin in our lives. That is the first thing that Jesus Christ, as the light, does. He exposes the things that are hidden in the dark, bringing judgment against our sin. Judgment which is always in our best interest, but judgment which is uncomfortable because it's an assault to our pride and it demands change. And this is why people try to hide things under the shadow of darkness. And if you want to know the truth, why people can get so uncomfortable when you start to talk about Jesus Christ. Oh, you can talk about a generic God, God of goodness who loves and accepts everything that we love and accept. No challenge there, right? Heck, you can even talk about that kind of generic God in a cocktail party and not get shunned. But just mention the name of Jesus Christ and watch people scatter to refill their drinks. Why? Because there's nothing generic about Jesus Christ. He speaks in absolute terms. He isn't about people-pleasing, being politically correct, or entertaining the status quo, and he is always about shining light in dark places. And that makes people uncomfortable. A perfect example is the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. She sure had her darkness exposed, remember? She was the one caught in the act of adultery by the scribes and Pharisees. There she was, thrown at Jesus' feet with nowhere to run, her dark secret exposed in front of all those hypocritical pigs of men. How painful that must have been, but how necessary, because the only alternative would have been for her to continue living in the darkness. How degrading that would have been to continue in her life of adultery. Certainly Jesus didn't want that for her, and the only way to banish the darkness was to expose it to the light. But notice what Christ did. The first thing he did was to shed light on the dark motives of those who brought her to him, because that's the first thing that light does. It banishes the darkness. He said to those who were using this woman to try to trip him up, "Let him who is without sin among you cast the first stone." And of course, one by one, convicted of their own sin, they all slithered away back into the darkness. And then, turning his attention toward the woman still lying at his feet, he burned away the guilt and the sin and the darkness which had cast a shadow over her life by saying, "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now notice he didn't say, now, what you did isn't really all that bad. Stop beating up on yourself. No, as the light, Jesus brought judgment to her sin. It was exposed for what it was, as was the dark motives of those who brought her to him. Go and sin no more. But as the light, Jesus also brought life. I don't condemn you, because that is what the light ultimately does. It burns away the darkness and brings true life. And immediately after this exchange with the woman and those who sought to condemn her, Jesus said to all the people in the 12th verse of John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Friends, the invitation today is to walk as a child of the light. As we'll sing in just a little bit, God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in the darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. May it be so for you and for me and for those we love. Amen.